I'm going to get right into the word. Praise the Lord. And I believe that, you know, every time we touch on the subject matter of righteousness, we don't want to really confess, and we get very quiet. But when the Lord has been dealing with me concerning this topic of righteousness, and I want to just share it. Hallelujah, as I begin to seek God and honor God and throughout His Word. Praise the Lord. And God bless the woman of God who came with Sister Pat also. Amen. Good to see you. Praise God. And as I read and study the Word of God, and you know, the Lord has me from time to time in the book of Ezekiel, in my personal studies, and allowing me to know and to understand that in the Old Testament, amen, the true prophets of God were not itinerary speakers, prophets. They came out in the Old Testament only when God had something to say. And if God had nothing to say, then the prophets had nothing to say. They came out because they understood that God was their strength. God was their source of life. They didn't make a decision based on honorariums, but they made a decision based on the direction, the divine direction of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that the Lord has you and I, amen, for such a time as this. We've come, amen, in the presence of God. Hallelujah, for such a time as this, amen, under the divine direction of the Lord. It isn't by accident, hallelujah, amen, but it is by the hand of God. When I look at the body of Christ, I don't have time to miss, amen, somebody. When you see all that is happening in the body, there's no room for beeps and bloopers and blunders. God said that my people must get from the point of living, amen, in the residue to and not living in the revelation. And when you're living in the residue, you're living from the benefactors of what is in the atmosphere at that time. You take advantage of the glory that you feel in the building or in the company that you're in. But that is not enough to help you when you're all by yourself, when you're all alone. Hallelujah. Because not every believer is of a call. As we know in the scriptures, many are called, but few are chosen. There are many people that are running to the house of God because Christendom has become popular, because our standards now have dropped in the body of Christ. Anything now goes. And so now anything can say that they're a Christian and do anything they want to, and without any guidelines and without any obligations, without no restrictions, no convictions, no power. Amen. I'm just a Christian. And when you are the subject to that minimum lifestyle, then you do not walk in the revelation, my brothers and my sisters. How do I know that? Because when you walk in the revelation, he said this to me. God said this to me, that when they don't have my revelation, then they don't know how, they don't know when, they don't know where, they don't know what. Because it has not been revealed to them. They have to run to prayer partners because they don't know how. They have to depend on their favorite preachers because they don't know when. And they have to trust in somebody else's message because they don't know what. Because it has not been revealed to them. I'm coming, you're waiting for me to give you the scriptures, but I'm already preaching. I'm halfway through the message. Just give me a little bit more time, amen, and I will show you what the word is saying. When there is no revelation, there is no illumination. And so you cannot walk in a light that you do not know. He said to me, do you not know that my many people that are in the body of Christ, hallelujah, know nothing about righteousness? God said they know a whole lot about church, but they don't know anything about righteousness. And the Spirit of the Lord becomes a teacher. He becomes a trainer. And he said that the trainer is in search of a true people that are righteous. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wrong has to be exposed so that the right in you can be revealed. Hallelujah. It has to be confronted with some things that are wrong so that God can move in your spirit to find out if right is inside of you. That's why we sing the song, Search Me, O Lord, and Know My Heart, I Pray. See if there be any wicked ways in me. It has to be confronted so God can search you out. So you're tempted with wrong to see if righteousness is for real inside of you. And that's why the Bible said there is no temptation such as common to man that God, hallelujah, with the temptation won't make a way for you to escape. Because when you are really righteous and you are beyond the church experience, then you can live in a house where there is wrong all around you and you will maintain your standard of right. Church is very quiet, but I'm coming to help you real soon. Nobody can make you do wrong when right has been birthed inside of you, because that's why the Bible talks about you must be born again, because this isn't something that is given to you. It isn't something that you hear somebody say, but it's an experience where you are birthed out of the old and into something else that sustains you, that keeps you, that holds on to you. Yes, I'm held in place, oh God, by what I'm born into. I am a McLaughlin. My last name is McLaughlin. I can operate in everything that McLaughlin represents because I was born into that. And I can use that name and I can get around the country in that name because that is what I am birthed into. So he looks at us right now and says, I'm going to give you this scripture in just a minute, but let me just break this down to you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, you don't have to go there right now, but the Lord looked around at the degradation of the house of God in Isaiah chapter 1, and he found, the Bible says, no remedy. He did not find anything, hallelujah, that he could use to solve the problem. There was degradation in the church and there was no remedy that could be found. There was no remedy until about verse 8 and 9 says he was able to find a remnant of survivors, those who had went another way and realized that it did not work for them. Hallelujah. They don't even know how they survived. It's oftentimes, amen, we come into the house of God and we see people shouting and we see people running. We don't even understand their praise. We don't even understand why people cry out. We do not even understand, because if they only knew what you have gone through, if people only understood the experience of a life that you have to walk through, they don't even know, hallelujah, how you've come through the other side. That's why you better leave people alone when they are worshiping God. That's why when you see a worshiper, you let them worship. You let them praise. You don't let them sit down, but you've got to let them just do, hallelujah, as the Lord is operating inside of them. Because by the grace of God, that some of you here, the enemy has been fighting after you all week long. You can't sleep at night. Hallelujah, you're under attack every night. Hallelujah. But when you come into the house of God, bless the name of Jesus, it is the place for you to find your place of praise and worship, to be free in the house of God, to give him the glory. Because after all the hell that you have to go through, hallelujah, now is the appointed time to give him the highest praise. Glory be to God. They don't even understand, some people, what you have to deal with. That you've been moved from the tabernacle experience, because the Old Testament lets us know that the tabernacle was erected. But if there was, amen, the Bible talks about the priesthood in the Old Testament. Hallelujah, in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle of the Word of God says it was barren. If there is no priest that is operating in the main maintenance and making sure that the brazen laver is full of fresh water. Hallelujah. For the washing of the word and making sure that the altar of incense has coals of fire on it so that prayer could never go out. And make sure that the menorah, that the oil never goes out. And make sure that the oil is going in the menorah and that it is not tainted with flies. And the Bible talks about in the book of Deuteronomy how oil got into all of the apothecary that sends a stink all throughout the temple because there was nobody that was watching the anointing. Because anything now, anything that creeps in and anything that speaks in tongues, we think that it is God. And anything that shouts, we think that it's an anointing. And anything that runs around the church, we said that's the spirit of God. And but we've got to realize what is the true identity of God. Hallelujah. The true identity of God is righteousness. It is not speaking in tongues. It is not jumping and shouting, but it is a standard. Hallelujah, to say no to the devil and yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, you better clap your hands in the house of God and give the Lord a praise right here. It's ability to still have joy at the worst hour in your life. It's the ability to still have a praise in your mouth, a worship on your heart when everything around you is falling apart. Because the Bible says that the righteousness is joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is not determined by the amount of church participation that you have, but it is determined by your character. It's determined not so much, hallelujah, by what you stand for, but it's determined, hallelujah, by what we stand for as a body of Christ. Where is your righteousness? I know this is not for the immature folks. Hallelujah. This may not be for everybody. It might fly over some people's heads, but I promise you by the end of the week, it'll land in you. It'll make sense after a while. And so God talks about the priesthood, and he talks about it in the Old Testament, how he made the wardrobe of the priests to be significant because man could not understand the ways of God. And God had to find a way to present himself so that human nature, you and I, could possibly understand him. So he picked out the colors of the temple, and he picked out the wardrobe of the priests that the priests would wear. And he said these words that after they were adorned with the particular wardrobe, that this wardrobe, according to the book of Exodus, hallelujah, the 28th chapter, that it would become their consecration. It did not say that they went on fast or that they had to lay down and prayed, but the Bible says, hallelujah, Jesus, that for 7 days they were consecrated into the wardrobe. They were consecrated. They went on a 7-day fast to be consecrated. And once they put the wardrobe on, they were consecrated for life. Somebody say consecrated for life. Hallelujah. So they did not have to go back and fast and pray to be consecrated. They were consecrated for life, which means that when God ordained the kind of wardrobe that they would wear from the foundation of the wardrobe, hallelujah, from the foundation of the world, it was the belt of truth and the robe of righteousness, which says, I don't have to go on a 21-day fast, hallelujah, Jesus, to get consecrated. But according to the word of God, when he ordained you and called you into being, you were consecrated into this thing. Some of you think that you got to wait 21 days and 31 days for the power to fall on you. But if you are truly a consecrated one of God, hallelujah, Jesus, it doesn't take all day and it doesn't take all night. You walk with this thing. You sleep with this thing. It doesn't matter where you are or where you go. But for the first time, stop your neighbor and say, neighbor, 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 I'm consecrated to wear this garment. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't have to fast and pray for it just to get consecrated, but I am consecrated. Ah, the Lord has consecrated me, and I have enough power to break up the devil. Hallelujah. I have enough anointing on my life. Oh, glory to
to God to look the devil right in his face and say, get out of here, Satan. I've got enough power. I don't need to get to God. I know some of you might be saying, but Bishop, the Word of God says, because some of you are Bible scholars, that some things happen through fasting and prayer. Don't worry, I've got a word for you. Go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and around the 13th and the 15th verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Glory be to God in the highest. I'm talking about being consecrated for God. And at verse 13, the Word of God says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, hallelujah, one like unto the Son of Man, it says, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. And if I read it from the Amplified Version, it says, and in the midst of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet, and with girdle of gold about his breast. And his head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow. And his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. And the Bible says in verse 15, his fleet feet glowed like burnished bronze as it refined in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Word of God. Yes. It says, hallelujah, Jesus. Now he said here, if we get down to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Because in one hand, he said in his scripture, hallelujah, that he was clothed in a white robe. This is what we just read. And in Revelation, chapter 19, and we will start at verse 7. Revelation chapter 19, and we will start at verse 7. Let us rejoice and shout, hallelujah, for joy. Let us celebrate, ascribe to him glory and honor. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared himself. And verse 8 says, she has permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling and white. For the fine linen represents the righteousness, the upright, the just, and the godly living deeds, and conduct and right standing with God of the saints, which are God's holy people. In one hand, hallelujah, she has been permitted to dress in fine linen. He has been permitted in Revelation chapter 1. It says that his garment was adorned in white fine linen. And then when you get to chapter 19, hallelujah, Jesus, it says now that she, which is the bride, has been permitted to wear and adorn herself in the same white robe that he was wearing. Why? Because not only did she not become his bride, but the brideship means that there is something about the church that becomes one with God. So in order for her to be recognize as being in him, she must be robed like him so that her identity cannot be mistaken. So in other words, when the enemy looks at you, he has to see God. When the devil dares to try and walk up in your house, the reason why he has to be fearful is because he has to see God. This is why I don't understand how people can come to church and be in the church and not live right, but yet they are Christ, hallelujah, when his wardrobe is in righteousness. So this is why, hallelujah, she has to be permitted. Not that she earned it, not that she deserved the right to it, but the Lord says that I am fixing this thing because she, hallelujah, is mine, and I am her. hers. And she said, God saying here that we have to become one together. Oh yes, it's just like a woman that is wearing a wedding ring. You don't have to ask her if she is married, but just by the ring that she is wearing, you can know that she is chosen. When they see your robe, they know that you are in Christ. When the devil sees your robe of righteousness, he doesn't have to pick a fight with you, because he can see what you've done on. He can see the robe that you're carrying. I don't have to ever lose with my robe on. I never have to doubt when I'm wearing the robe. I don't have to live my life in fear when I've got on my robe of righteousness. I don't even have to say a word, and the enemy has got to leave. I don't have to speak in tongues. Oh yes, when I'm wearing my robe, I don't have to tell the saints and the Satan and the devil what to do, because my robe of righteousness speaks on my behalf. It speaks on my behalf. Touch your neighbor and say, you're working too hard. Oh yes, tell your neighbor, hallelujah, you're working too hard because you're too naked. Oh yes, tell them that you're working too hard because you don't have on the right clothes. Somebody in here, hallelujah, don't have time for 21 days of fasting because the enemy is on your track. Somebody in here doesn't have time to get before God and cry out for 3 weeks and 30 days. Oh God Almighty, because the war is hot. The fire has risen against you. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost getting ready to break loose in the house. Somebody in here, oh God, does not have that type of time. But I want to remind you what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells me that when the righteous cry out, the Lord hear them and deliver them. Not from some things, not from a little thing. Oh God Almighty, but he delivered them out of all of their troubles. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your battle is. But where is your righteousness? Where is your righteousness? Hallelujah, God Almighty. If you are the righteous for real, and if there is trouble that is on your lane in your life, no matter where you are, hallelujah, oh God Almighty, sometimes you can just walk into a room and you know that every eye is on you, and the pressure is intense. You can walk into the courthouse and every eye is on you, looking for you to fail. But look at yourself. You got your robe on. You went before, and you reminded God, I am your son. I am your daughter. And you said in your word, never have I seen the righteous. Oh, is there any righteous people in the house? Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor my seed begging for bread. I've got to hurry this thing along because some of you are looking at me and looking at the time. Isaiah 61 and 10 says, he has robed me in righteousness, and he has clothed me, hallelujah, in it. And they went out to Romans chapter 4 and 22 and 24. It says in the King James Version that he has imputed righteousness unto me. People don't even know, hallelujah, how to live saved these days. But imputed righteousness. He has imputed righteousness unto me. Because I am not the wisest cat on the block. I have to pull out the dictionary and the thesaurus. And I took the pleasure of looking up the word imputed. And it has an A, B, and C definition. And the dictionary, hallelujah, it tells us the A definition is the ability to make in a person inclusion in space, place, or limits. Imputed means I have been included, hallelujah. A spirit of inclusion took place, and I was now included into a space, place, for a limitation, a limit of time. Inclusion, which means there is a place in God that because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, hallelujah, I was cut out of. But when he imputed righteousness unto me, he included me in his space now. And now I sit where my Father sits. I am now included, hallelujah, where my Heavenly Father is. I have the same benefits. I am no longer on the outside, but imputed means, hallelujah, it's a word. Another definition says it's a word of motion. It's a direction from outside, of a point to within. In other words, he imputed righteousness unto me. It's an infusion, not only included, but it gave me the ability to move. It means motion. So you cannot be righteous and you're not on the move for God. It puts motion in place. Oh yes, some of you are not ready for this yet, but Pastor Marcia, this blew my mind, because we struggle in the body of Christ. Oh yes, trying to get the body of Christ to take part in certain things and to do certain things. Oh yes, I'm about to preach on everybody. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we get here, no. But the word of God teaches me that if we have got to be, if we've got the imputed righteousness, that means we're on the move for God. That means that nothing should stand in your way that will stop you from ever saying yes to the will and the ways of God. That tells me, hallelujah, that God does not care about your nationality, your race. He's not concerned about your culture. Hallelujah. He does not care if you are poor or if you are rich. Just as long as you bear his name, you've got to be on the move with him. We serve a moving God. He is not dead, but he is arisen. And any time that you see God stand still, that means that there is a problem in the camp. Anytime God shuts the heavens, it means that he is not pleased with his people. Anytime you find that God has stopped speaking in the word of God, it means that something went wrong. But as far as the people remain righteous, God said, I will move with you. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to walk with you. Hallelujah. You don't have to fear any evil. Just as long as I'm walking with you, you have the favor of God. He will let the waters that have risen up above your head, he will make sure that he wipes him down. Oh yes, he will put your feet in a wealthy place. Oh yes, he will cause everything that turned against you, hallelujah, to begin to cause favor to come upon you. You're out there talking about, I can't do this and I can't do that and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. But where is your imputed righteousness? Where is the gift that God has put inside of you? After all, anytime you walk from God, he's right there to bless you. He's right there to keep you going. And now that the body of Christ has a need, you forgot that this God moves inside of you. He is the daily bread. He's your source of survival. The songwriter said, every minute of the day, I need Jesus. He's my reason for living. I can't do without him. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I hear the Lord say, I'm getting ready to move in the midst of my people like you have never seen me move before. Oh yes, you've got to say to your neighbor, just keep your eyes on me, because God is not through with me yet. You've got to look at the enemy straight in his face and say, devil, you won't have the last laugh over anything that I'm going through, because I serve a God and he's on the move. He will come and search for me. He knows where I am. Even when I'm about to lose my mind, he knows where I am. When all hell is breaking loose, he knows where I am. He knows a place to find me. He knows my name and my address. He knows me by the strands of hair that are on my head. He knows me by the clothes that I wear. He knows me when I'm naked. He knows me when I'm robed. He knows me when I'm not anointed. He knows me when I'm full of the anointing. I feel the power of God in this place. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. Jesus, so he knows where you are. It's an imputed righteousness. Hallelujah, Jesus. You don't have to look, hallelujah, anywhere else, but the Lord knows exactly where to find you. When you understand that the righteousness has been imputed unto you, the Bible says, hallelujah, not just ask. Oh yeah, but you can go beyond the asking. The Bible said, oh yes, and this is for those of you that are saying, oh Bishop, hallelujah, but the Bible says that some things happen through fasting and prayer, and this is why I said this word is not for everybody, but it's for those of you that can receive it. Oh yes, because the Bible also lets me know, not only can I ask a thing, but it also tells me that you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's not coming to pass because God says so, but it's coming to pass because he put the power in your mouth. It's coming to pass because he's anointed you and he has consecrated you, that you don't have to do it through fasting. You didn't have to do it through prayer, but he said if you just stand where you are and if you can speak to the wind, I wish I had some children in the house. If you can just stand where you are and speak to the water, stand where you are and you can speak to the rain. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if you can decree a thing, it shall come to pass. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. Yes, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm a bomb. I'm waiting to explode. I'm moving. I'm changing. I'm shaking. Hallelujah, the devil's kingdom. I can lay in my bed and I'm still wreaking havoc over the enemy's camp. I'm possessing everything that the Lord has in store for me. I can take authority. Hallelujah. Some of you think that you need to come to church just to get the power. But I'm here to remind you today that you can be in your basement. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can be at the gym and all of a sudden something hits you. I was in the grocery store on Friday and I don't know from where it came from. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I was just walking through the aisles minding my own business. And if my children were with me, I could see them now running away from me because something hit my spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I began to say it out loud. I said, just as you did it before, you can do it again, God. And I didn't care who was with me. I did not care who heard me. And I went singing, skipping down the aisle because the Lord said to me, you've got to tell my people for me that I'm about to do it before like I did it before. I'm getting ready to do it again. The enemy tried to put some of you to shame, but the Lord said the righteousness still lives inside of you. Yes, you might have had an accident. There might have been mistakes, but don't live in your past because your righteousness. Look here, let me tell you this, that you've been living for God all your life and we are just doing our best. God will not wipe you out just because you made one mistake. That's what grace and mercy is for. Can I preach in the house? Hallelujah, Jesus. But you got to control your spirit. You got to learn from your mistakes and not live inside of them. Ah, yes, because he calls you into righteousness. He has imputed righteousness unto you. It's because of his grace and his mercy why you are here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Some of you, you have got folk in your families. Oh, yes. You're the only one working. And nobody else in your family can find a job. You're the only one in your family that has a degree. You're the only one in your family that amounted to something. And that tells you and I that every time you wake up out of your bed, you're living the imputed righteousness of God. You're breaking down barriers that have been in your family. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're the only one that is saved in your household because you are the imputed righteousness of God. And the Lord is depending on you to pull your family through, to get your son through, to get your mother through. The Lord is depending on you to get the household through. And that's why he saved you. That's why he has called you unto righteousness. That is why he has separated you from everything that you've gone through. Yes, some of you are just a living testimony. The Lord has got to put you through some things so that you can be able to testify that, yes, my name was on the street. Yes, hallelujah. If Rahab was here, she would tell you, yes, it is true. Everything that you heard about me, it is true and it is so. But look at me now. Look what the Lord has done. I've gone from prostitute to prophetess because of God's imputed righteousness over my life. I don't have to live in the past. But Lord, somebody say, Lord, Lord, call him like you need it and say, Lord, I'm living an imputed life. Clap your hands and give it a praise. Means to ascribe righteousness to a person vicariously. I'm almost done. And the dictionary said, yeah, I got to look up in the dictionary because I'm not the smartest one. When I look in the dictionary at the word ascribe, hallelujah, guilt or to a person vicariously. And when I looked at the word vicariously, it said, look, let me just say this, because some of you come from a world of sin. Let me just be forward. A life that has been unsaved. Let me break it down a little bit. Some of you, your life was fine when you were out there in the world. As a matter of fact, hallelujah, some of you might have been angry the day that God saved you because you were doing just fine out there in the world. Yes, you can do your partying, you can do your drinking, you never have to worry about anything while you were out there in the world. And for some of us, when we got saved, it looked like all hell break loose. And it looked like, hallelujah, glory be to God, that church folk, amen, are trying to cause, hallelujah, all types of miserableness to come upon you. And some of you got good reasons why you don't even want to go to church anymore. Yes, but the last time I checked, when it comes to dealing with people, not only do you have to deal with people in church, but you've got to deal with folk outside of church. I don't know what you think you're running from, because some of us, we have the biggest talk when it comes to people in the church. Oh yeah, but you've got to deal with these people on your jobs too. You've got to deal with these hypocrites in your family also. I don't know where you think you're going thinking that. You don't have to deal with people. You live in a world where people is. And so no matter where you turn your head, you've got to deal with people. now that I got that aside, let me talk to you now about dealing with God. Because the last time I checked, you're supposed to be coming to the house of God for godly reasons, not because of people, but because you love the Lord and you love, hallelujah, Him operating in your life. Ultimately, this means, glory be to God, that you cannot leave out of a world of sin and come into the body of Christ and let somebody steal your joy. You cannot leave out of a world, hallelujah, where you found pleasures in, and come to God and think that you're just going to give Him half when He has promised you that I've got blessings for you, when He has promised you that He has an imputed righteousness for you, when God has promised you that He has treasures laid up in heaven. How dare some of you want to come into the house of God, hallelujah, and not reap the blessing because somebody said something to you that caused you to want to walk out of the church, because somebody said something to you because they did not welcome you the right way, because they did not call your name the way they were supposed to, and you cannot sit at the body of Christ. Look here, let me serve this notice to you. The body of Christ is in a deeper situation now than it has ever been, and we don't have the time to watch you and all of your sensitive feelings, but you've got to get a grip of yourself. You've got to find yourself in God's presence and got to move to the body of Christ, because if you don't pick up your feet, you will get left behind. To a person vicariously. And so the dictionary says vicarious means, it's 5:21 already, I'm gonna wrap it up real quick. It's called Sister Maisie. I haven't seen her a long time. I have to preach like this. Vicarious means to perform or receive or suffered in the place of another, felt or enjoyed through imagined participation in the experience of others. Let me break it down for you. Hallelujah. It's that I receive the imputed righteousness vicariously, which means that God sent His Son, hallelujah, He sent His Son, Jesus, and Jesus looked over the other side of Calvary at you, and He saw you, and all of the stuff that you would have ever done in your life. And what He said, what He decided to do, because it's a spiritual thing, He made the decision to step over in your life and take on you and live as you between the sixth and the ninth hour on the cross. And between that timeline, He said, I'm going to live your life. Yes, I'm going to rise again. And when I'm going to rise again, I'm going to make a deal with you, because I die for you. Hallelujah. Your life is not your own. Oh yes, you're just a shell, because He took your life. And so what He's going to do is, I'm going to step back in you and give you His life, and now you're going to live vicariously for God. And that's why He said in His word, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he. Because if you think it, that I am the Christ and I live on the inside of you, then you can let Him inside your mind. And this is why He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And that's why no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because when the devil looks at you, he's frightened of you. Because it is no longer the I eye, but it's the Christ that liveth on the inside. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. Yes, it's got to be God on the inside of you. It has got to be the one that is pushing you and keeping you. Hallelujah. It's got to be God that the one is sustaining you and telling you to go forward.
I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. You look here. Let me tell you something about righteous people. I've got to say this and wrap this up. The thing about righteous people is, unlike somebody that is just saved, just a Christian. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. See, righteous people can look at a situation and give God praise anyways and say, thank you, Jesus. See, whereas the same people, they would worry to God and they will go to God in prayer and they will plead before God and pant before him and stress over it. But the righteous know who they are. The righteous man, hallelujah, Jesus. The righteous man knows the power that they possess. Hallelujah, God. The righteousness of God stands within a person. Hallelujah, and will look at the matter and say, it's already healed. Yes, it's already delivered. The righteous can look at your son and say, you're already delivered. You're already set free. Hallelujah, Jesus. When you get back home, you've got to look at everything that you're going through. Hallelujah, Jesus. And begin to speak over those things that are not. See, this is for the righteous that get to speak over things that are not as though they are. That is for the righteous child of God. That is for the ones that know the power that they possess. That is for the one, hallelujah, Jesus, that understand that the power of God lives within them.
One scripture, if I could find it. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 15, he said this: who shall dwell temporarily in the tabernacle? And who shall dwell permanently on the holy hill? So there's two kinds of people that are in here. The kind that's temporarily in the tabernacle.
That's right.
These are the people that they can never stay saved. These are the people that have a hard time. Oh, they come in and they come out. Oh, they will bounce around the church. They're the fault finders. Every church you go in, they're there. They have a problem with everybody. These are the people, they have a hard time because they are temporary. They are what the Bible calls a form of godliness. They have no power. Oh, God, I feel like I'm teaching real good. And then you have those that will dwell permanently on the holy hill. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the word of God here lets us know that this is the reason why some of you are under attack the way you are. Because the enemy has been trying to take you off of the hill. Because he understands, just as the word of God says, that if you look to the hill, from whence cometh your help. And the enemy knows that the hill is your help. Hallelujah. And if he can take you off the hill, then he can try and destroy you. But you've got to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not coming off that hill. I've got some stuff on the altar, and I'm not coming off the hill. I don't have time to gossip. I don't have time to back talk. I don't have time to get caught up in any type of conversation. But I need to be saved for real. I need the righteousness of God to be bestowed. bestowed upon me for real. I've got to be in the body of Christ for real. I'm tired of the way that I'm living. I'm tired of the way that I am. And I've got to be for God. If God be God, then serve him. And if Baal be Baal, then serve him. But he said, those that walk in righteousness, those that keep their mouths from slander, those who keep their bodies purified and sanctified before the Lord, with no guile in their spirit, no double standard in their heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Those your feet shall not be moved. Who am I preaching to in the house? I'm talking about stabilizing the body of Christ. I'm talking about coming to a place, hallelujah, where you find the righteousness of God fighting on your behalf. Some of you have cursed your own selves. And you've deemed yourself unworthy. But God says you're righteous before my eyes. He says that you are righteous. Who told you you are not worthy? Who told you you're not worthy? Who told you you're not worthy? He says, I am God that lives inside of you. If I didn't live inside of you, you would never be worthy. If I didn't live inside of you, you would never be righteous. Hallelujah. But he continues to draw you. He's drawing because he has deposited something inside of you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And because God has deposited something inside of you, you know what God has to do? He has to protect the gift. Hallelujah. He has to protect the gift. I know you really don't want the gift, and I know you don't even understand why you're being called, and you may not understand, and some things just don't make sense to you. And God, why do you keep on choosing me? And God, why am I continuing to do the things I go and all that I'm caught up in involved in, God? But you continue to love me. You continue to hold me. You continue to care for me. You continue to wrap your loving arms around me. It's because he's got to protect the gift. Got to protect the gift. Hallelujah, Jesus. If it was not, trust me, if you were not found worthy, the fight that you're fighting in would not be happening. If he didn't find you worthy, the fight that you have to deal with day after day, you would not have to fight it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Found you worthy and righteous to bear the cause of his name.